Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. Thanks for kicking it off with us right here at WFHR. Got your host, James, behind the mic. I am joined by our head of production, our co-host, Seth Haphacker.
Good morning, everyone.
And the best listeners in radio. Seth and I are going to get into some fun a little bit later. We've got some interesting topics for you. We'll get into some entertainment news. And actually got an entertainment story that I wanted to ask our good friends at the South Waukani Humane Society about. Ooh. They join us at the top of every Thursday morning with our Pet of the Week. We've got Denise with us here right now. Denise, thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year to you and yours. Did you have a good New Year's?
I did. It was very chill this year. How about you guys?
Yeah, basically the same. Yeah.
It feels like the overall theme for a lot of us this year.
I think we all
back.
Need it.
Good point there. Yeah, we did need it. A little bit later, Denise, Seth and I are going to get into the greatest dog characters of all time.
Excellent.
You go ahead and think about it a little bit. Maybe later if you want to message me or something like that. Or if it comes to you, you go ahead and throw out some honorable mentions if you want. But we do want to check in with our friends at the Humane Society, see how things are going over there.
They are great, crazy. We adopted 8 cats, or we had adopted out 8 cats last week.
All right.
Wow,
and
excellent.
It's great. We got one dog that is looking like it'll be fostered or adopted, and then we have a bunch more of our dogs that need good homes. But the cats are rolling, which makes us very happy.
Excellent.
Our construction, they're going to pour concrete, the plan, next week on our front new area. So that'll take us other parts of the building, if you will. Mm-hmm. But we're ready for it, and it's so exciting. Big things coming at the Humane Society.
Yeah. It's really nice to hear, especially coming out of the year and going into a new year. You want that kind of approach, that energy with the staff and everything. Is it good for the team and the staff, but it's good for the animals. The animals pick up on these things.
They do. They really do. And it's a little topsy-turvy right now, but we're trying to keep it as normal for them as possible.
Yeah.
Our staff and the community and the volunteers, just they handle that so well. It's impressive to see.
We know that there are always things that we as a community like to be able to help out with. Are there any in need things that you have over there? Kitten food, litter, that kind of thing?
Yep. Cat litter is always a big thing. Dog food, the dry especially. We have a lot of dogs in. We just took another one in this morning as a stray. So dog food, if you have extra, drop it off. And cat litter, those are the top two, as well as blankets and toys and things like that.
And keep in mind, there's other volunteer opportunities over there at the Humane Society, and it's a great way to help out, especially we have a lot of kids that are going to be going, getting ready to go off to school, to college, looking for things on your resume. That's a great one to have on there that you've, you have volunteered at your local Humane Society, helped out there.
Yep.
Those can be really good, as well as a great thing for people that are looking, we have a lot of retired people in this community and looking for things to do, and a great way to help out is working over at your local Humane Society and getting around these animals is always fun. I've worked in humane societies before, and I did not mind any of the jobs I did. I was always around animals. I was always in a good mood.
Yeah, it's a great place to be because you feel so wonderful. And then I learned dog room last week and how to the whole process of feeding them and taking them out and cleaning their kennels. It was so fulfilling just to know and I understand the process and we're helping these animals. Volunteers, anybody that is interested, go on the website. SWCHS.com and fill out the application and we'll get you in, get you trained, and it's amazing to have volunteers if you're interested.
And how have you been doing? How are things been going in the transition into the position and everything?
Good. I'm learning a lot every day. I'm understanding the processes a little more and meeting board members and understanding the personalities and how to take care of these animals because that's the number one thing that we're all there for. So I'm loving it. A couple weeks in and I'm feeling a little more positive.
All right.
Really good to hear.
Yeah.
And you just feel like a perfect fit for it too.
Thank you.
We really do appreciate that.
We've got
a lot of important jobs in this community and I think that the position you're in is a key one, an important one. It's great to see somebody not only embracing it and enjoying it, but somebody who really fits it very well and fits
this
community very well.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm proud to be here. I do feel like this was meant for me. So
it's
near and dear to my heart, and I'm loving it so far.
Great to hear.
Thank you.
Denise, we have made the audience wait. I always make them dry. I like to stretch this out a little bit and everything and make them wait a little bit. Who is our pet of the week?
We are highlighting Spot today. Spot is a tiny little female. we think she's a mixed breed, possibly, you know, terrier. Hard to say. She was came in as part of a hoarding situation. It says on the website that she's a wiggle butt. She really is. She's tiny. She's about 30 pounds, if that.
Wow.
She is spayed. She's friendly. She's just beautiful. She has like a really pretty face. If you're interested and you need, we're not sure. She does seem to get along with other dogs, but because of the situation she came from, we'd like to do a meet and greet if somebody's interested. But she's a little, she's one that'll sit on your lap and cuddle with you.
Yeah, lap dog, yeah.
For the audience that may not know, and I know what I'm talking about here, as I mentioned, I did work in humane societies. Wiggle butt is an actual term.
It is. It is an actual term. I've learned that
technical
too.
Term,
yep.
Right.
They see it and you're like, oh yeah, that's a wiggle butt.
And that, you know, that is a spot is an old school name a bit for a dog.
Yeah.
This is the name, this is a perfect name for this dog.
Yep.
That's
it
a
is.
Perfect name.
Yep, she embodies it.
Not only does she have the face of a spot, just a beautiful face, but she's got some like unique spot, like almost cow-like spots on her coat.
Does.
Wow.
Yeah. She's beautiful.
It's a very beautiful dog. And you can find out more about her. And she's got all of our Humane Society pets that we talk about. They're chipped. They are spayed and neutered.
Correct.
And you have those things. And also, keep in mind, if you're looking at these animals and you're unsure if it would be a good fit for your family or anything, that's what the Humane Society is there for. They want to, they are not just looking to put an animal anywhere. They want the perfect match to happen for you.
Absolutely.
And those happen every day.
They do. Yep. And we go to great lengths to make sure that it's the perfect fit for the animal and the family, because we want everyone to be happy in the long run.
And, you know, with Spot, Spot's not alone. Spot's been there 147 days,
mm-hmm.
Which is just too long.
Yeah, too long.
I don't think you have to know a lot about animals to know that time works differently for them.
It does.
And for 147 days for us is a long time. For them, it's almost an eternity.
Right.
Giving them a home is not only going to be great for them, but great for you. It's a great opportunity to have your new best friend.
Absolutely.
They're just waiting for you over there.
They are.
Denise, is there anything else we wanted to touch on before I let you go today? Because I wanted to make sure to get everything in.
Nope, but just if any questions, anybody is curious about what we do, give us a call, stop by. It's a little crazy there with the construction, but we're happy to give you a tour or sit down and talk to you about, you know, what you'd like and, you know, your wishes for animals and things like that.
Thank you. That was what I wanted to ask. People do want to drop things off or, you know, needs or anything like that. With the construction going on, is the front door still busy over there?
The front door is not accessible. You
right.
have to come around to the side door on the south side of the building. Ring the bell and somebody will greet you, or just give us a call and say, I just pulled in and we'll meet you outside.
Right. You can give them a call. Feel free to do that. That number is 715-423-0505. 715-423-0505. Otherwise, you can email them office@swchs.com, office@swchs.com, and stop on by at 3621 64th Street North in Wisconsin Rapids. You can't miss it. That big old dog on top of the building. I love it. That's so great.
Yep.
Denise, it's always great hanging out with you. Happy New Year to you and yours and to the staff over there and to all those amazing animals. And we look forward to seeing you again next Thursday.
Thank you, James. Thank you so much. I appreciate the time.
Appreciate
you guys.
Have
a great day.
You too. Have a great one and Happy New Year to you and everybody over there. Say Happy New Year to the staff for us too.
I will. And the dogs and the cats.
Yes, please do. Every single one of them, Denise. Every single one.
Personally, I will. Go right
to make sure to mention my name too.
Just I will. James says hello.
Thank you so much. You were the best. Thank you, Dennis. Appreciate you. And keep in mind, everybody, we are always looking for partners for this segment. If you are a business out there, one of the better things you could do advertising-wise, marketing-wise, is attaching yourself to not only our station, but to the Humane Society. Working with nonprofits is one of the better things, one of the bang for your buck that you can get as an advertiser. Any marketing person will tell you that. I encourage you to sponsor this segment. We'll reach out to our front desk, 424-1300. We'll put you in touch with Ashley and get you to a part of the team. We'll have another Pet of the Week for you next Thursday right here in this time slot on The Morning Show at WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Morning Show here at WFHR. Locally grown radio. Seth and James hanging out with you. Big shout out to Denise and all of our friends over at the Southwick County Humane Society. That was fun.
That was good. Yes.
This is it's a bit of a crazy week with the you know, kind of day in the middle of the week not
right.
being here and kind of getting back into the swing of things. But we couldn't ask for a better start to the year with having Phil and Denise in and everything. This has been a blast.
It's been great.
We appreciate that. Mm-hmm. Do want to let everybody know that the heart of this station and really the person that makes all of this work, Pam Hilke, is not in the offices today.
Yeah, that's right.
So we want to send a shout out to Laura and the good work she is doing out there. manning things out there and making sure that the lights stay on and Seth and I don't start the building on fire or any of those important things.
Always important things, yeah.
And not only keeping that in mind as well, when you if you stop by the studios today, the offices should be open.
Yeah, should be open.
But keep that in mind. You might want to stop by earlier today, maybe before 11 or noon, if you have something to drop off or pick up.
Exactly.
And we appreciate y'all working with us on that. Thank you so much, everybody. Coming out of the holidays, one of the more popular fun songs and Funica songs, really, is the Hanukkah song from Adam Sandler.
That's right. Oh, my goodness.
Saturday Night Live did a holiday episode, as they do every year, and really embraced this. I actually got to watch catch up on SNL on New Year's.
Oh, okay.
That was one of the things I did on New Year's Eve, was catching up on Saturday Night Live things. Because I am known for having a partier mentality, and I had to keep that up, Seth. Yes. Have a reputation.
You're so well known for that, right? Yeah.
I got to say, real quick, side note. I watched the Martin Short Saturday Night Live.
Okay.
And not only a bombardment of cameos, as you would imagine.
Of course.
With Tom Hanks and Paul Rudd and Melissa McCarthy showing up and everything, and so many amazing people.
Wow.
Tina Fey was on there and stuff. Pound for pound, the best SNL episode I've seen in ages.
Wow.
Every segment had me laughing.
That's
great. I thought everyone was good. I thought everybody had fun on there, which made the audience have fun.
Of course. That always helps.
And there is something about seeing Martin Short working with like actors that are in their first year on SNL.
Mm.
And knowing where he started and how nervous he was for so long. And as a little kid running around the house doing Ed Grimley impressions and everything.
I must say.
I just was blown away by seeing him at this stage. And
that's great.
Martin Short's had a couple of comebacks and a couple of really good notes here and there where him and Maya Rudolph were doing an amazing work a while ago and some things. But where his career is now, I don't know if he's ever been more popular.
I don't think so. I honestly don't think so.
How wild is that?
Yeah. Well, you think back, you know, he got his start, you know, SNL. Was he Second City before that?
Yes.
Was Martin Short?
A little bit.
Okay.
He worked, because he's a Canadian actor.
Right, exactly.
And he worked
a
lot with Bob and Doug McKenzie in those sketches.
Yeah, right, yeah.
He was a writer on some of
that's
that and
right.
everything.
Okay.
Rick Moranis, I believe, and him knew each other.
Okay, which would make sense. A lot of Canadians from there, too.
Yeah.
But he got a start there. And then he was kind of he was in a couple of movies. You know, he would make appearances. So that was kind of his first thing, you know, Inner Space, right?
Inner Space.
Yeah, he was really good in that one.
First thing I thought of. But
he kind of, you know, just kind of went off a little bit, you know, doing whatever. And then, you know, the Jiminy Glick thing came up and he was big for a while with that.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then he kind of went, you know, I didn't say went away, but, you know, he just did some different stuff, basically, and kind of was out of the broader public eye. But I think you're absolutely right, man. As soon as he and Steve Martin started doing stuff together, they have both of them, and it's helped Steve Martin, too, be more in the public eye because they're so good together.
It's interesting to see where Steve Martin is still so relevant as well. That's been fantastic.
It's been great.
If you're looking, you know, if you haven't caught SNL in a long time and maybe you missed it or you'd like to catch up on one.
Yeah.
I can't recommend the Martin Short episode enough. It was fantastic. It was their holiday episode too.
Right.
It was a lot of fun.
I got to say one thing too. From all accounts, Martin Short is one of the nicest people in show business. I mean, he lost his wife about a decade ago, which was one of the great romances. I mean, he has never, since then, he's not been with anybody because he just, for whatever reason, he's talked about it. He just can't. It's just because of how close they were and how much in love they were.
As a side note, not to spoil anything, because that's one of my biggest things I hate is spoiling things.
Right.
If you are new to Only Murders in the Building, it's maybe the best show on TV or best show there is.
It's up there, yeah.
I highly recommend that one. I would mention that, for one, part of the reason he went away was certainly doing theater and the situation with his wife.
Yep.
Where he needed a break.
Yeah, and she was sick for a long time, too, so yeah.
Part of what Only Murders in the Building was started as was a chance for Steve Martin to highlight his friend and his friend who needed something to get him back at work.
Yep.
But also, hey, here's a guy who we Martin Short's been doing this for four decades, and it's a guy that we only know a little bit about seen a little bit of his talent.
Exactly.
You didn't get to see him as a dramatic actor. You didn't get to see him do certain things in suspense or any of this. You get all of it with Only Murders,
yep.
And he nails it. As much as I love Steve Martin, and he's one of my all-time favorites.
Absolutely.
As big as a talent as Selena Gomez is, my mm-hmm. God, is she only going to do better and better things going yep. forward. This show is all about Martin Short.
It is.
And it's so good to see him like getting his flowers, getting an opportunity to really shine and show what he can do.
When I first started watching it on James' recommendation, by the way, so very good recommendation. That's the thing that totally blew me away the first couple of seasons, how good of an actor Martin Short is. No idea. I had no clue he was that good.
The pilot episode, he has a couple of scenes in there. And again, I've seen everything he's done. I've never seen him do, and I didn't know he was even capable of. Mm-hmm. And it was just in the pilot, let alone since then. Mm-hmm. And him and Meryl Streep have a very close relationship in the series.
Yeah, they do.
And they talked about this quite in length because Martin Short had not kissed anybody since his wife.
Yep.
Until wow. this and everything. And it was remarkable. Very difficult. And they worked together on it. And
yep.
just a beautiful kind of... It's
yeah.
When creatives can get together and they can be, you know, vulnerable yep. together, some of the best work you're going to see shows up.
Oh, man. And no one deserves it more than him. Really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. The Hanukkah song turned 30. And that's incredible. and to celebrate that, Adam Sandler did some fun things with it. And he first off, he got a couple of... He wanted to get some choir singers with him. The Dre Dres, he called them. I love that. I love it. Now, one of the things he did to do this, three of they're all younger people, and Sandler and his team traveled to Jewish synagogues around Los Angeles and other communities to audition kids for this.
Oh. That's great. That's awesome. Cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
They had a concert. You can catch it on SNL. Just great stuff. And just that the Hanukkah song is 30 years old. That is yeah. fantastic.
You know, that might go down as, you know, he wrote a couple of songs that we still, you know, reference and everything. That might be the one that he's remembered for, though. I honestly think, because it's entered like the standard, you know, like, I know there's not a lot of Hanukkah songs out there, but there are some, but that one is probably one of the most well-known out there right now.
I would say, yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I will also throw out there Lunch Lady. Lunch Lady is also up there, but I think that's in part because of Chris Farley playing the Lunch Lady
which is hilarious. I think Red Hooded Sweatshirt is probably one of my favorites.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah. That's a great one. That's yes. a great one. Yeah. So how do you keep time when you can't even count? Just ask U2 drummer Larry Mullen Jr., because he's been doing it his whole life.
What?
Larry recently found out that he has a condition called a dyscalculia.
Okay.
Or math dyslexia.
Right, right, okay.
Now, I'm bringing up this story in part because this is something I've struggled mm-hmm. with myself and mm-hmm. everything, and I think that it's quite unique. What's unique about it is not the disease, is that so many people don't know that they're dealing with it.
Oh, absolutely.
Or don't understand it. This is something that we're learning and we're doing more and more in real time.
Yep.
We're trying to fix the boat that's got a hole in it in real time.
Yep.
There are a lot of people out there of our generation that were some of the first that were diagnosed with things.
Yes.
We were talking earlier about abbreviations mm-hmm. And, you know, acronyms and everything.
Yeah, right.
We were some of the first to have to learn some of those.
Right, right. You know, ADHD or ADD, as we called it when we first, or ADHD, that kind of stuff. And all these, I mean, you've talked about, you know, dyslexia and all those things. Yeah. We're things before, it was always like, oh, there's something wrong, especially the people that were suffering from it. Like, something wrong with me.
Yeah.
What's wrong with me? Yeah. I don't understand this. Why can't I not do this? Everyone else around me is doing it. Why can't I do it? Well, now we're figuring this out. It's like, oh, no, guess what? There is something wrong that we can, now that we can diagnose it, maybe we can get, you know, we can do ways of helping you out.
And as a kid, I beat myself up about this stuff.
A lot of kids did.
I remember being 8, 9 years old yeah. and being afraid to, you know, the teacher was going to call on me because right. I didn't understand what was in front of me and mm-hmm. things like that.
Yep.
What we bring this stuff up in part because we hope to encourage the next generations to speak up and yep. to say something, feel comfortable to say things
right.
and to talk and everything. It's not as if this stuff is new. It's just being newly diagnosed. It's right. just new that we're doing that.
100%. That's something we have to keep in mind. And the fact, it's important though to get this out there, like you said, talk about it, get it out there, because then we can develop mechanisms to help people that have these issues to, you know, feel that they're not stupid or anything like this. You know, yeah, they can help yeah. them and they can do things in society.
And have people who are successful, people who have been successful mm-hmm. through these things, speaking yep. up about it is really important.
Very much so.
Larry Mullen, from all I know, is a good drummer, has always been considered and respected as a decent mm-hmm. drummer and yep. everything. U2 is certainly a respected band.
Absolutely.
He says, quote, "I've always known that there's something not particularly right with the way that I deal with numbers. numbers, I'm numerically challenged. I can count and I can't add. Or I'm sorry, I can't count and I can't add. So that's an extreme version.
That's
of
very
this.
Extreme, yes.
And then to make it in music, like not just make it in music, but you're one of the most successful bands of the last 30, 40 years,
and in one of the most important positions in rock and roll music. The drum is so important, and you're literally keeping the beat. So yeah.
And that explains why he often looks miserable behind the kit, though. If you've ever noticed that about him,
really no.
He always seems to have a very just stone face. Behind
very
there.
Serious look on his face, yeah.
Quote, I am pained because I'm trying to count the bars. Oh. I had to find ways of doing this, and counting bars is like climbing Everest. In the middle of actual, like, live. It's not just that they're, like, in the middle of in the studio when this
recording or something, yeah.
But live, and thousands of people there, and you got Bono, who is a bit of a perfectionist and everything.
And how many times has he done this? Like thousands of times. Yeah. How many live shows has he played in his life?
Now, one of the things that Larry and I and many people will remind you, too, is that if you are struggling with this or you have questions about your own brain with these things, not only is there help, there's ways to work and navigate this in
life. Yep.
You don't have to struggle with this. You don't have to suffer
with this. Now, he had to do it himself because and he's found a way kind of even though obviously it's not easy. It is not easy for him. And maybe if this is something he had known earlier, maybe he could have found some ways to work around it a little bit. So, but I give him 100% credit for coming out and talking about it. It's very important.
Yeah, good point. Thank you. Because he didn't have to do this.
No.
Like, I don't think most people even know who, nothing against him.
No.
I don't think most people know who he is necessarily.
Yeah, right.
They might know pictures of him because him and the bass player and the drummer look a lot alike in YouTube. I think it's really cool that he did that. And now a caretaker for his dad's work, Sean Ono Lennon seeks to innovate his work, not just repeat it. You and I, off air and on air, have talked about the Lennon boys a little bit, Julian and Sean Lennon, and what it's like not only to come from that, having that as a musical family.
Yes,
not
amazing.
Just, of course, John Lennon is your dad, but in this case, Yoko Ono is your mom, who was a musician. Whether she was good or not, or all that stuff, is each and every. Everybody's opinion out there, and I'm not going to get into that.
She was more of an artist, but yes, she did music. Yep.
It's a really good point right there. Especially if you're listening, if you're just approaching her as a singer.
Yeah.
That's not going to do you any good.
No.
But if you look at her as an artist, I think it's a little different.
A visual artist, she's done performance art, she's done a lot of stuff, so yeah.
Well, great article at abcnews.go, and you can find that at abcnews.go.com if you'd like. I do want to send a shout-out to David Bauder, the AP writer who did the article on this in the write-up. Only recently has Sean been given stewardship over his late father's work, but Sean Ono Lennon is on a remarkable run. The only child of John and Yoko Ono won an Academy Award this year for a short film based on his parents' 71 song, Happy Christmas, War is Over. Beautiful short film.
I have not seen it, and now I want to.
Very good. Very, very
excellent.
Good. I get goosebumps thinking about it, to be honest with you. And a few months later, was nominated for his first ever Grammy for production of the box set Mind Games, originally released in 73. He has been feeling a bit overwhelmed, and it is a little surreal for him. And he recently shared a Webby Award with his mother for Ono's interactive art project, Wish Tree.
Man, she's still doing stuff, too. Wow.
He was only five when he lost his dad.
Yep.
This has been important for him and therapeutic for him in many ways, going over this work. The work is a way to connect with his father. It's more than a perspective mission. He takes artistic license, pulling apart the recordings of John Lennon's music to create something entirely new.
Wow. That's amazing.
The Mind Games thing, I haven't listened. I got to, though.
Yeah, that sounds fascinating, out. Yeah.
Lennon was inspired in part by another Beatle offspring, Donnie Harrison, who helped repackage his own father's work, All Things Must Pass. Dahani Harrison is also behind the Falls reissue of his dad's Living in the Material World album.
Ooh.
And some of that.
Good album.
It's amazing to see what these kids are doing with their parents' work.
Right.
And the idea of not shying away from it. In my family, my father is larger than life. My dad was just huge. It was as an athlete, as just a personality. I don't believe that there are as many people in this world that have met my dad and don't come away being just liking him. Just liking that guy. You know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, yeah.
There's something about him. Mm-hmm. And having the same name as him and living up to that was a bit difficult. And my father was by no means perfect or anything.
Right.
I can't imagine, like, on this level, like, what you're dealing with there and how you handle that. And I don't think anybody can, unless you've actually gone through it. I don't think you can really understand what that's like. And one of the things I encourage so much in 2025 is embracing, I know that I don't know. I empathize with you, but I don't know what it's like.
Right.
I can empathize with something, but I'm not going to pretend I know what it's like and assume I know what it is.
Right.
The more we can do that as a society, the better off we're all going to be.
Right. And, you know, it's really interesting considering, you know, how famous their parents are, especially what happened to John. And I have to give a lot of credit to Yoko because she protected Sean. I mean, she protected him from all that could have happened after John was killed and everything like that. She was also very protective of John's legacy. And now, obviously, Sean learned very well that because now he's going to be the protector of that legacy. And but not only that, he's also being creative with it, which I think is so cool. I mean, and he's such a talented artist. I mean, he's not a big pop star, but if you've ever heard any of his music, if you've ever heard some of the groups he's worked with, and because there's been quite a few of them, he's produced music. He's a talent, obviously, and now a filmmaker. I mean, who knew, right?
Yeah.
So it's really cool to see, and and it's being honest about how it's made him feel, because, you know, like you said, he was really young when his dad died. Yeah. So he doesn't have a lot of memories. Now he can kind of work through it.
And he gets to not only go through some things and vicariously and live through and do some therapy and this and all that, also getting this music out there for younger generations and so
which
much
other really
things.
Cool, yeah.
Let's take a phone call before we go to our news break. Good morning. You're on the air.
Oh, wow, we lost him.
Hey, feel free to call back. 715-424-2600. We'll meet you back here after this break. I do want to send a shout out to Beth. Her and I are on the same wavelength sometimes. I didn't even see her text. Martin Short did a lot of Broadway in between other projects.
Very good.
Mentioned the theater thing, but yeah. Beth is absolutely right. He was
she would know.
Absolutely.
She's our Broadway person.
Our Broadway correspondent. Yeah, Broadway Beth. Broadway Beth. There we go. We'll be back with more show coming up. We're going to talk when we come back, Seth and I, and we want audience participation on this one coming up, everybody.
Okay.
Get that getting ready to call us, and I want to know what the greatest dog character of all time.
Oh, okay.
Who is your number one dog character of all time? It's a tough list. It's going to get heavy. We're going to go at it.
We're going to get it. We're going to do it.
Fun. Coming up on the
tough questions here.
Tough stuff. I saw it. I had to. Welcome back, everybody. Morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Hello, everybody. They did a Lionel Richie is I guess a judge on American Idol or Voice or one.
He's
of those,
on one of those shows
one of those
now.
Shows
yes,
or whatever.
He is.
But I saw a commercial. I'm so sorry. I don't know the shows.
You're fine, dude.
I don't know which show it was he's on, but they showed a picture of him from his Commodore's days. One of the better afros you're gonna see.
Oh God, his hair was awesome.
Yeah, I feel like because he's been around for so long, I don't know if I've really given enough credit to Lionel Richie and how like he is such a smooth voice.
Man, one of those great voice. I mean, the Commodores. If you knew the Commodores, they had a lot of different singers. They all, you know, they had a group that of different guys that sang. But you know, Lionel was the ballad guy, and of course, then he went on to his big solo career. A lot of famous ballads, but yeah, his voice, one of a kind.
Night Shift is one of my all time favorites. I love that song so much. Yeah. I never get tired of that song.
It's excellent.
One of the other things that happens, I think, when you're celebrating New Year's, there's some nostalgia that happens. I think for some of us that are getting up there in age and everything. And I was thinking a lot about, and I talked about this with you and Mel the other day, how me and my best friend spent every New Year's together staying up late, and, you know, watching TV we weren't supposed to or something like that. We're having fun. And I was thinking about that a little bit. And I saw something from Walter Payton come up. And it got me thinking about Walter Payton and looking at some interviews with him and everything. And one of the things that Walter, you know, more famous things about him was he had a ruse headband. mm-hmm. that he always wore, because he had an advertisement deal with the Ruse company.
Yep.
And to anybody out there listening that has no idea what I'm talking about, there were these shoes back in the day called Kangaroos, and they were just Ruse, basically. And there were, the only thing they had going for them was they had a little pocket. They had a little pocket on the shoe.
Or what?
I never had a pair. Thank you. I don't know what was supposed to fit in that pocket.
It was the pouch of the kangaroo, right? That's the whole gimmick. Yeah.
This sent me on a rabbit hole, Seth.
Oh, dear.
Of realizing that the 80s were the age of Velcro. We put Velcro on everything. Like wallets. Remember Velcro wallets?
Oh, my God. You could tell someone was buying something because then you'd hear that, you know, every time.
To anybody that had invested, like bought stock in Velcro, like you're still living off the 80s, man. I did not realize how much we did this until I started. Like, if you're just looking for a fun rabbit hole to go down, look at how Velcro in the 80s and where we put it.
You cannot tell me you don't hear that sound and it transports you sometime in the 80s. I swear 100%. To God.
We do want to send a shout out to our friends at the Southwick County Humane Society, not only Denise and the great team that they have over mm-hmm. there, but Spot, our pet of the week.
Our pet of the week is Spot.
Go ahead and find out more about Spot at SWCHS.com, SWCHS.com. Now, unfortunately, Spot does not qualify for this next list. The greatest dog characters of all time.
Okay.
All right. 715-424-2600. Call up. Join the conversation. I want to hear from you. Who do you think is the greatest dog character of all time? Mm-hmm. Ranker.com put together their list. The voting, and that people have voted on this one. Okay. So it wasn't just something a bunch of writers came up with. It was voted on by the public. They have 20 names here. We're going to burn through some of these so we can get through them all. But I do want honorable mentions from everybody out there. Mm-hmm. And I'm just going to throw out my own real quick because I don't see them on here.
Okay.
Courage the Cowardly Dog. I love Courage the Cowardly Dog. I love that cartoon.
That was good. Yep.
That was my sister and brother show, but man, I watched that one.
Nothing wrong with that.
Between you and I, Seth, I watched that too. I love that show. Balto from Balto.
Oh, that's not a bad movie.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's not too bad.
Bolt from Bolt.
Balto, Bolt, okay.
Now, here's a deep cut for you. Nana from Peter Pan. Remember the dog from Peter Pan?
Oh, yeah. It's like a St. Bernard. Yeah, the big one. Oh, my goodness.
It's a great, and it has a couple moments
interesting,
in that
it
one.
Made the top 20. Wow.
That seems weird to me.
Yeah. A lot of people remember that one.
But okay, all right. Yep. Beethoven from Beethoven.
Another St. Bernard.
Yeah.
Hey, man, how many movies? 3 did they make out of that? That was popular. Yeah. Wow.
You're right, though. Yeah, they did make like 3 out of that. Jeez.
Charles Grodin, man. They're giving him work.
First thing I thought of was Charles Grodin. First thing. God, man, shout out to Charles Grodin. Great character actor.
He was.
Great character actor.
Yeah.
Shadow from Homeward Bound, The Incredible Journey.
Oh, yes. That was a book. That book? I read multiple times when I was a kid. Yeah. That was a good book.
Copper from Fox and Hound.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one. Pongo from 101 Dalmatians.
Specifically Pongo? What's wrong with Perdita?
Yeah.
Which is a much cooler name, by the way.
Yeah. You got quite a few you could choose from.
Yeah, come on. And then you got 101 other Dalmatians to choose from.
That's pretty good. Blue from Blue's Clues.
Oh,
at number 13.
Boy, a lot of people. Yeah.
Great show.
That was a fabulous show.
One of the best kid shows of all time.
Yeah, I never watched it, and neither did my kids, but I know a lot of people love that show.
My son and daughter just, maybe the top show that got them, like, engaged. And
excellent.
That show, what was so cool to me about that show is they didn't just sit there and watch it. They brought me in on it, and we were doing things.
You were participating,
We were never just sitting there and just watching the TV. We were doing things with it and interacting, and it was fun. And Blue was a big part of that. Spike from Tom and Jerry.
Oh, my.
It's a good one. Deep cut.
That's a deep cut. Wow. I don't even remember. I know. I think about it. I come a couple cartoons with Spike in it, but yeah.
Toto from Wizard of Oz.
That makes sense.
And I wouldn't have thought of Toto, but Toto's got to go on that list.
Yep.
I'm actually a little surprised at number 11, Toto comes in at number 11.
Yeah.
Almost an upset here. I think should be way higher on the list. Odie from Garfield.
Yeah. Oh, that's interesting. Wow.
Odie don't get enough love.
He doesn't.
Odie's awesome.
You love Odie, man.
How great of a character are you when you never say anything and almost everybody knows who you are?
Yeah. And then loves a beloved Odie, I have to say.
Lady from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, yes.
It's a good one.
Again, why doesn't that? No, I'm just kidding.
yes, you could. Yeah,
why do they? The tramp, I don't get the difference in there anyway.
Slinky dog from Toy Story. Ernest, didn't Ernest do the voice of Slinky?
Jim Varney. Jim Varney did the voice of Slinky, yes.
The great Jim Varney, I should say. Okay, and then at number seven, the Tramp from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, he's higher on the list. Okay.
So, wow, that's crazy. Tramp is higher than Lady and from Lady and the Tramp.
Oh, I don't know about that, yeah.
Squirrel! Doug from Up. I didn't know his name was Doug.
And his name is Doug, yes.
And it's D-U-G, not D-O-U-G.
Yes.
It's D-U-G as like, in Doug like Up.
Doug, so, yeah, exactly.
Like at number five on the list, Clifford the Big Red Dog.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
That's been, I mean, the books, the shows, the movies, been around. That's a generational thing.
My kids, my brother and sister read a little bit, got into those, but I did not really know those books that well or anything, but so successful.
Yes.
Really unpopular.
And the TV show was very long running on PBS as well. Of course, John Ritter did the voice of Clifford.
Yeah, that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And boy, now we're into the top five.
Okay.
Clifford at number five.
Okay.
Number four, Pluto.
Yeah. Yeah, you got to put Pluto's.
Pluto's got to get up there. Yeah, Pluto's
and gotta be. The best dog owned by a mouse. Yeah.
Yes, very much. Yeah, and very confusing for Goofy, who is in at number three,
who's also a dog.
Yeah.
That is the one big mystery of the Mickeyverse, I guess you want to call it, is how Goofy is also a dog. And Pluto, but yet they're so different from each other.
I would have went Disneyverse. You're more correct in saying Mickeyverse. That's a better way to put it.
Specifically Mickey's group, yeah.
100%. Mm-hmm. You're 100% right. and the most confusing thing in maybe all of animation, the most confusing thing is how some dogs are like Pluto and some are like Goofy.
It doesn't make any
there's
sense.
There's only one. Well, no, Goofy's got kids and
he's
stuff.
Got, like, he's got a son. Like, yeah. He's got. There's other people in the Goofyverse. See, now we're really getting into it.
Yeah, we're really getting into
the weeds now.
Yes,
yeah.
I love this. I love it. I always like Pluto, though.
Pluto's fun.
Maybe my favorite character was Pluto. I really like Pluto.
The early ones with him and, like, Chip and Dale, where they would torment him, those were fun, yeah.
And Goofy's a great character.
Goofy's my favorite of all the traditional Disney Mickey kind of characters. Goofy's my favorite,
yeah,
for sure.
Right up there for me, too. Yeah. And the top two, one and two spots, I think could be interchangeable, mm-hmm. and I would love to know from you guys out there where you would rank these two.
Okay.
If they would rank in your top one or two, or your top three even. Mm-hmm. But at number two is Scooby-Doo. And at number one, Snoopy.
Of course. Mm-hmm. No surprise there. Snoopy's the greatest. I would put him on the top of my list as well, I think.
A bit of an upset to not see the Red Baron show up on this list, I would have thought.
Well, you never see the Red Baron.
No.
Snoopy's just going after him all the time.
Would have liked to seen Spike show up in this list.
Spike is hilarious.
I love Spike.
Love Spike.
I like Spike. Snoopy's cousin Spike.
His brother, actually. It's his brother.
That's his brother.
Yeah.
I always say his cousin is his brother. That's right. And let's hear from you out there. Good morning. You're on the show.
What happened to Snot from National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation?
Oh, that's a good one. It's another good reference. I think they're going cartoons. I think that's part of it.
Yeah.
But no, they had Beethoven.
No, they had some live-action ones here.
Yeah, live action.
It's
both. Right. You're absolutely right, Kev. You're right. It should be in there. That's a good one.
Or what about the dog from Sandlot?
I thought of that one.
Oh, what was the name of that dog?
I was going to say James Earl Jones' dog. Either.
Yeah.
What about Mr. Peabody or Droopy Dog?
Huckleberry Hound.
That's a great one.
Huckleberry Hound, man.
Let's see here. Scrappy Doo. My sister couldn't stand Scrappy Doo.
No, Scrappy's the worst.
I'm looking at a list here, and you've got Jake the dog from Adventure Time. Done by the great, I can't think of his name, but one of my favorite voice actors does this voice.
Yes.
He's Bender.
John DiMaggio.
John DiMaggio does the voice of Jake the Dog.
Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one, too.
Yeah, there's some good dog references out there in movies and everything. And I would have to say, like we were talking about your brother and sister James about Blue's Clues. My older son, that was his one of his favorite shows growing up. He was probably, he's 25 now, I think. So it's been around a while. And then, his favorite was Blue's Clues, along with, the actor with him was Steve, and that was just one, that was one of his favorite shows. So.
This is a good list, but it's, and I don't like to, necessarily squabble with these things too much, but how can it be a list without Lassie on it? Like, for one, like, in all seriousness, like, how is Lassie? Yep. Not none of these dogs are here without Lassie, you could say. But also Ralph the dog. Like, Ralph the dog, come on. Ralph the dog is one of the best dogs ever, ever.
Well, I mean, and then again, it's all personality. What about, you know, we've got Santa's little helper.
You stole my ending. That was exactly where I was going. This list does not make any sense how Santa's little helper is not on this list.
Quick note about Lassie.
How about Air Bud?
Air Bud's a good one. The basketball player.
I think if this were done in the 50s, Lassie would be in the top five, if not top. Yeah. If this were done in the 20s, it would be Rin Tin Tin, who was in a whole bunch of silent movies, was a big star. So, yeah, it's all about when, you know, the era, too. That's something to do with it.
Old Yeller, too, back in the day.
Yep. You know, in the 60s, Old Yeller would have been up there.
Great one. Man, where would entertainment be without these
dogs? I'm telling you.
I think honorable mention, and I don't do this very often, but Brian Griffin from Family Guy. Brian and Stu are the only characters I like.
He's actually probably my favorite, too, if I had to pick.
But
yeah.
Santa's Little Helper belongs on this list. You've got 35 years of TV that you've gotten out of that.
It's a really old dog.
Kev, appreciate you. Safe travels out there.
All right, you guys. Have a great day.
You too.
Seth and I will be back with more show coming up on The Morning Show at WFHR. You say. Welcome back, everybody. Seth and James here with you. New outro song. We're going to have
a good one.
It's a new one to add to the list here and everything. And especially we were talking about the Beatles a little bit earlier.
That's
it just
true.
Felt like a fitting way. Seth and James here to wrap up the show. We'll take it to the top of the hour. Just a couple of minutes left, everybody. But I did want to touch on one more good story to wrap things up.
All right.
And drones are in the news a lot. They're going to be in the news a lot going forward.
They will be, yeah.
And there is a lot of negativity or a lot of, you know, I would say even genuine concern over it and everything. I don't want to use the word fear. I think that's a little heavy.
Yeah.
And I think we have to be very specific with our words going forward.
I think that's wise.
Including myself need to do that. But a concerned neighbor with a drone helped rescue a dog that spent nearly a full day stranded on the thin ice covered in a New Jersey lake.
Oh, dear.
A 20-month-old pooch named Brooklyn was spotted on the thin ice covering Lake Parpusley and appeared to be afraid of strangers to venture off the ice. So it was too far in the middle to be able to be reached.
Right.
But they were able to save the dog and get it through, but they only found this dog because of a neighbor having its drone going around looking for it.
How about that?
There are almost everything in life has positives, has negatives. Right. It's important.
Technology is that's like the poster child for that, right?
Yeah. It's important, I think, to remember those things.
Yep.
And for every bad story we're going to see about this stuff, to remember that there is a reason for it in our society.
And by the way, what are you doing, person in New Jersey, naming your dog Brooklyn? What are you doing?
That's going to get you kicked out.
They're not going to let you live in New Jersey by doing that. Come on.
They're only finding the dog to help you move. That's it.
Think of all that. You can Hoboken. Name your dog Hoboken. I mean, come on, it's in New Jersey. Come on.
That's not a bad name, actually.
No, it wouldn't be.
Let's take a real quick call because we got to get going here. Good morning. You're on the air.
A lot of drones out there, but hey, whoever killed JFK... Just saying.
Okay, what are you doing, man? What are you doing? How is that funny?
Oh.
Come on, you know better than that, man.
Yeah.
Come on. The exact opposite of what we're trying to do here. What are you talking about?
Yeah, we don't peddle in that stuff here.
We do want to get right into our schedule for the day, and we got a great one lined up for you. Join us today at 4 o'clock as we're back at it with Midday Magazine, and we got a good one to kick off. Kevin is going to be with us. Kevin and Sam, we're going to talk about Scouting America.
Yeah.
Looking forward to that's
very
cool. A lot of fun. And in part two, our good friend Anna Mitchell from UW-Madison Extension, natural resource educator over there. She'll be with us.
Nice.
Anna always has a great topic for us.
Always good stuff.
I learn every time she is in studio with us. That's going to be a lot of fun. A little bit later today at 5 o'clock, right here on WFHR, we got Wisconsin men's hockey. It's a puck night.
Yes.
Wisconsin, the Badgers taking on the Spartans of Michigan State.
Yes. Kind of a weird split series this weekend, but starting tonight.
It's going to be good one. Yep. We'll have more of our sports schedule coming up for you. We do want to remind everybody that our great friends over at McMillan Memorial Library have the Red Cross Blood Drive happening today. Yes. It actually kicks off in just a minute or
it
two.
It does. Get on down.
10 to 3 at their all-purpose room. Head on by and drop off to all you heroes out there. We greatly appreciate you donating if you can.
Mm-hmm.
Seth, did want to, while you're in with us, your last time with us for the week, I wanted to remind everybody about the Winter's Farmers Market.
Yes, that is not open this Saturday, everyone. They're taking another week off. They'll be open again on the 11th. So just keep that in mind, everyone. 9 to 1 on December 11th will be the, or excuse me, January 11th will be the next time the Winter Farmers Market at the Moravian Church will be open.
And also keep in mind, I believe our friends at Focus have their neighborhood meals available today.
I believe that's correct.
You can find out more at 2321 West Grand Avenue in Wisconsin Rapids. I encourage you to give them a call first, 715-422-1980, 422-1980 to find out more. Meals, their neighborhood meals is available on Thursdays traditionally.
Yep.
From about 4:30, they open their doors. 4:15 is seating, and guests are asked not to enter the building until 4 o'clock.
Yes,
so keep that in mind.
Yep.
But a big thank you to them, all the volunteers that they have over there, the whole team at Focus doing such
all the great stuff they do there. Absolutely.
So much amazing work over there. We greatly appreciate them. And again, that that blood drive is happening at the McMillan Library today from 10 to 3. Be sure to head on over there and check that out if you can, everybody. Melissa and I will be hanging out with you tomorrow to get you ready for the weekend.
Yeah.
So, Seth, thank you for all the great work. We appreciate it.
Not a problem. It was good.
And
good week.
I want to thank our guests today. A big shout out to Phil from Quality Plus Printing. Joining us. Thank you, Phil, and thank you for the cool shirt.
Yes.
and a big shout out to Denise and our friends at the South O'Connor Humane Society.
Yep.
Big thank you to them. Find out more about Spot and all these great animals they have over there at SWCHS.com.
All right.
We'll talk to you later, everybody, right here at
This is locally grown radio. WFHR 1320.